Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What you are about to hear is so much better than what you were about to hear. That didn't sound good for me, frankly. This is Wretched Radio. Scott Klusendorf joining us impromptu in studio because you were just with us to be a part of Road Trip to True Season 2. Do you know we haven't even released Season 1 yet? And we're already doing Season 2.
Is that faith or presumption?
We're going to find out.
You're going to find
very
out.
Very soon, as soon as we do release, which we will be releasing Season 1 very soon, but you absolutely killed it recording 2 episodes on the life issue. And when you and I were chatting between takes, there's a subject that we share a little bit of a mutual, what's the right word here? A disdain for, a rewriting of how evangelicals should go about the business of voting regarding the life issue.
Right.
Am I smoking the crack? Am I the only one who's noticing that there is a concerted effort for us to reconsider how we vote on the life issue?
No, you're not smoking crack. You're seeing it exactly as it's going down. And it's disturbing. You're right, Todd, because, I mean, look at this. Our intuitions say you vote for a pro-life party, you vote to protect legally unborn humans, and the terms of the debate have now been changed. Now what we're being told is, well, don't worry about the legal realities. We should work to reduce abortion.
That's right.
That's not the goal of the pro-life movement, though we want that to happen. Our ultimate goal is to save children by legally protecting them. And what's happening is the terms are being changed right under our noses.
Okay, now I'll tell you what. I will kind of try to represent the voice that I've been hearing a lot inside of conservative evangelical circles. So you would say that it is better for it to be illegal, even though it's currently, we could have fewer abortions if we had some other policies in place. Why not vote for a guy who can implement policies that will actually bring down the abortion rate through better welfare programs, perhaps through better education, mm-hmm. a more prophylactics being distributed? What's the problem with that?
Well, consider this. A society that made spousal abuse rare, in other words, they reduced it, but still left it legal for you to beat your spouse would be a deeply immoral society. And this is where people get it wrong. We're not out merely to reduce numbers. There's a principle here of legal protection for unborn children. And that's what we're about as a pro-life movement.
Can I just tell you, I'm ashamed of myself now for, well, now multiple reasons.
Really?
But I was just reading an article about the state of one of the Northeast states. There's a shocker for you. And they are making the distribution of prophylactics mandated for schools. So you've got to distribute them. And it was actually a Republican who forwarded the legislation because he said, what we will do is we will reduce abortions. All right. Something's not right with his thinking. I came up with some illustrations. What's wrong with the let's pass out condoms to kids so that we can reduce abortions as far as good Christian thinking?
Well, it's bad on a principled level because we're basically handing people a permission slip to do what's immoral, what's wrong. But it's also not proven anywhere in the peer-reviewed literature that if you pass out a lot of condoms, you'll reduce abortion. In fact, William Salatin, who's a New York Times journalist, has written an excellent piece, and he's no friend of pro-lifers. He said the problem with women getting pregnant when they don't want to be is not because there's not enough birth control, not because we've restricted it somehow. He calls it a loss of personal responsibility. People in the heat of the moment don't want to use birth control. They don't want to take it. And so what they end up doing is getting pregnant. And he calls that laziness. So it's not a matter of conservatives squelching condoms somewhere. It's a matter of people not being personal responsible, says a guy who's not even on our side.
Yeah, the illustrations that I came up with, I thought about up in Canada where they pass out needles so right. that the heroin addicts don't get a dirty needle. And I'm right. like, well, wouldn't it just be better to do away with the bad thing rather than kind of provide. See, it overlooks the moral issue.
Yes, it does.
And my illustrations, the ones that I came up with, they tended to limp quite a bit. But nevertheless, it is to super. It's to jump past the moral issue of right and wrong. So
it is.
I just thought, oh, that's kind of a bummer that we are trying to deal with a bad consequence, unintended pregnancy. Not that babies are bad, but the unintended pregnancies, by somehow making it okay and safer for you to do the act that is morally wrong unless you're prepared for the consequence.
That's right. And there's another layer to this, Todd. The law functions as a moral teacher. When legally we make something happen, we send a message that it's okay. It's not neutral. Laws are not neutral. They send a moral message. And so we are feeding the immoral behavior. And of course, as Christians, we care deeply about people's souls, not just their condom levels.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to teach you how to beat your kid so it doesn't leave a mark.
There you go.
How did I do? Better illustration.
That's a good one.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Scott Klusendorf in studio from ProLifeTraining.com. ProLifeTraining.com. If you would like to be equipped to defend the life view, you won't do better than Scott Klusendorf. You're also on Life is Best, the season that we the series we did. Was that 80 years ago?
80 years ago, five, but, you know, it feels like 80.
It certainly does, but I still think that's one of the best pro-life apologetic resources.
Phenomenal, and you sell a lot of them.
Yeah, you can find that too at wretched.org. Scott, let me press back still on your traditional pro-life voting view. The people who claim to be pro-life, they really haven't done much to eliminate abortion anyway. So go ahead and pull the lever for the person with the D next to their name.
Yeah, usually the refined version of that argument is this. Abortion rates have actually gone down under candidates who support abortion and gone up under ones that oppose it.
Is that accurate?
No, it's not at all.
No, it's been coming down since Roe v. Wade, since 1980,
well,
really,
here's the
hasn't
thing.
It?
They always leave out the presidency of Jimmy Carter, where rates went up 33% under Democrat Jimmy Carter. And then they say, well, Republicans, it doesn't drop as much. Well, actually, Reagan slowed the growth of the abortion rate from 33% going up to only going up 1% during his 8 terms. Then people come along and say, well, Bill Clinton really did the job, boy. And you look at the 90s, the rates just went through the floor. What they forget to tell you is in 1998, while Clinton was president, the CDC no longer required states to report their abortion data. Now it's all voluntary. California, Maryland, District of Columbia, no longer reporting. Where do a huge number of abortions come from? California, maybe? Well, that's not Clinton's doing. That's the fact California no longer has to report its data. This is silliness, and yet people buy into it. Do we really think rape would go up or go down if we legalized it?
Yeah, every time we deal with this issue, because one of my observations with all of the new reasoning about voting for a pro-choice candidate is it's overlooking what abortion actually is.
Yeah.
That we've forgotten that it is the intentional taking of an innocent human being. And we treat it like, well, you know, there's other stuff too, but you replace abortion with rape every time and it shocks people.
Or slavery, or spousal abuse. There,
all of those are good. It's like, oh, suddenly it's really clear.
It's
because we've forgotten what abortion is. And I think that is another issue in the evangelical community. There have been a lot of conversations about political things for the last 4, 6, 8 years. But it has not been as much about the life issue as it used to be.
No, it's not. In fact, what's really bad is they lump abortion in with other issues and create this moral stew of equivalency when there is no moral equivalency. There is a world of difference between intentionally dismembering an innocent human being, which I call an intrinsic evil, and a contingent evil like war that may or may not be justified depending on the context and circumstances. And what people are doing is putting these contingent evils in with intrinsic ones or absolute ones and saying, well, who's the real pro-life candidate here? This guy over here, he's against war. He's going to do a better job on poverty. Yeah, he's got abortion wrong, but he's only wrong on one issue, not these others. The problem is these issues are not morally weighted equally. What would we think of a candidate that had an excellent health care plan, excellent economic forecast to help young people get into the job market, but thought it must remain legal for you to beat your wife? Would that candidate be disqualified even though he was right on all these other issues? Of course he would be. You don't get off just because, hey, I've got a good thing going here on all these other things. All issues are not equally weighted.
That is exactly what is taking place. We're looking at these other issues as if they're on the same level, which would make us, you know what that means, don't you? The dreaded one-issue voter person.
Right.
Which we will respond to also, along with a slew of new arguments that are being forwarded to encourage evangelicals to vote for a pro-choice candidate. And dare I add, not just a pro-choice candidate like, yeah, okay. No, this is an aggressive pro-abortion candidate and party. And so there are a number of new ways of finessing this, nuancing this. I didn't know it needed to be reconsidered, but nevertheless, it is being done. And I fear a lot of evangelicals might be persuaded by it. So, Scott Klusendorf, dropping an impromptu, improving the quality of this program. Let me tell you, I know what I had prepared. You are so much better. And we are blessed by your presence. ProLifeTraining.com, ProLifeTraining.com. We will continue our chat with Scott Klusendorf next on Wretched Radio. If you have been going bonkers and perhaps praying for alternatives to expensive health insurance, I am thrilled to commend to you MediShare. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched to learn about affordable, biblical health sharing. This just might be the answer to your prayers. Imagine Christians praying for you and sharing one another's health care burdens. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched.
Don't you just love how easy texting is? Long phrases summed up in just a few letters, like LOL or TTYL. How about TTWWTTN44321? BRB? Wait, are you confused by one of those? Well, for those of you not up to date on Gen Z lingo, TTWWTTN44321 means text the word wretched to the number 44321. That's right, it's never been easier to become a gospel partner. Without our gospel partners, wretched would literally CTE. That ceased to exist in Gen Z, so go ahead and text the word wretched to the number 44321.
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
129 people commit suicide each and every day. 129 people, that's 129 too many. As a matter of fact, this generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. People are in desperate need of help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it at the moment, but you do know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is going to provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. So get your copies now and give these booklets away to someone who needs hope. You can find your copies online right now at our website, wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Books of the Bible. Song of Songs, also known as Song of Solomon, is a song about romantic love. The author uses sensuous, romantic language to describe courtship and marriage, desire and intimacy, in the context of purity and goodness, which are God's intentions for marriage. A biblical view of marital love is romantic and passionate, while being innocent and pure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
New categories or old tricks? This is Wretched Radio. Joining us, to my delight, Scott Klusendorf from ProLifeTraining.com. ProLifeTraining.com was with us earlier today to record season two of Road Trip to Truth. You absolutely banged it out of the park, because I use baseball illustrations because I know you love baseball so much these days.
So my bat was hotter than that of the Braves last night.
I have no idea.
Yeah, they didn't do so well against the Dodgers, but I'm glad I hit it out of the park.
Those dodging people, they're very good at their sport.
Yes.
That they play. If you've ever wondered why this isn't a sports program, I think we just settled
it. We settled it.
Right there. Scott Klusendorf was working on Road Trip to Truth Season 2, and whilst we were chatting between takes, you and I agreed something is afoot. And I would not say that the evangelicals who are offering these new ways to view voting are trying to be nefarious. They all claim to be pro-life, and yet I keep getting the sense that there's this push at least toward it's okay for you to consider other candidates with different positions on the life issue. Now, one of the pushes that I see is that we are one-issue voters and that there's other issues to consider. So let's just be a little bit more holistic, a little bit more thoughtful, Scott. Life ain't the only issue up for grabs here.
Well, of course, abortion isn't the only issue any more than the destruction of Jews in 1940 was the only issue.
Ow.
Or the beating of the Nazis in 1944 was the only issue. Or the eradication of slavery, the only issue in 1863. But it is the dominant issue. There will always be other issues, but pro-life Christians are right to give greater moral weight to the greater moral issues. What is possibly more evil than the legal right to intentionally dismember a living human being? Can we be honest about what abortion is? A lot of these people telling us to rethink our priorities, I wonder, do they really know what abortion is? Would they watch a 55-second clip that I normally show to audiences when I go out and speak that shows you dismemberment abortion? Would they pick up a textbook like Warren Hearn's book, Abortion Practice, that teaches abortion procedures and describes in detail how to pull the arms and legs off children? Would they read that and come back with the same stuff they're giving us now? I don't think so. I think you've nailed the main problem. There's a fundamental lack of understanding of what abortion is.
And not only the textbook clear-cut presentation of a whole innocent human being life, that it's being taken, how it's being taken, mm-hmm. We forget the barbarous nature of what abortion is. It right. is a dismantling of a person as limbs get torn off, yeah. or as needles get punctured into the soft spot of the skull.
Yeah.
This is beyond what any civilized society should be tolerating. And so that's when right. I read article after article yeah. of, hey, let's not divide the church, Scott. Yeah. Let's not get into fights over these things.
Right.
I'm thinking if there's nothing worth fighting for, if this ain't it, then there's nothing worth fighting for.
It? Now, you and I would both agree with new Christians that Jesus first catches his fish and then cleans them. We understand that. There are people in our churches who don't have a properly formed worldview yet because they're new believers. But somebody who claims to be a new believer and says, well, we shouldn't, or claims to be an established believer and says, hey, we shouldn't divide over these issues. They're not that important. There's something deeply wrong with their worldview there. And quite frankly, Todd, I can't fellowship clearly with someone like that.
It seems to me, this is my little diagnosis. It's the intrusion of secular academia into evangelical circles. And I say that with a little bit of a caveat because, of course, we want to learn. And there are things that we can learn from secular right. people. But it is the bowing to, it is the embracing of, it is the desire to be seen as intellectually as profound or thoughtful or considerate.
And nuanced.
Not dogmatic.
Yeah.
And nuanced.
Yeah.
And I think that that is causing the confusion because I read for it. I have an article right here that there's 9 ways to work through voting. And I'm going, I just can think of one way, really.
Yeah.
Why does it require 9 steps to figure this out?
It doesn't require 9 steps. Let me put it real clear, and pardon me for jumping into the fray directly here. What is our job as Christians? To limit the evil and promote the good insofar as possible. That's our objective. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And voting for somebody who thinks it ought to be legal to intentionally dismember an innocent human being has disqualified themselves from public office.
Well then, so how do you feel? I want to make sure I've got this clear. You don't think that they've got it right?
No, they kind of got it wrong.
All right. This is some of the arguments that are presented. Let me share this with you, and then you as a pro-life apologist can try to engage. Your vote bears moral weight by virtue of a chain of causation. Now, I'm going to read this to you somewhat quickly as I might read an article, all right? Suppose that candidate Jack says he believes in Proposition A, B, C, D, and E, while candidate Jill supports issues L, M, N, O, P. When I cast a ballot for Jack, I'm giving Jack the agency, the power or ability he needs for turning A, B, C, D, and E into law, or over and against L, M, N, O, P. If Jack is elected and succeeds in writing A, B, C, D, and E into law, I become morally culpable for those laws, at least in some measure. By the simple formula of cause and effect, with my vote at the first cause, our votes create the requisite agency. We're handing Jack or Jill the sword of state.
Well, I didn't know anybody could write in tongues all this A, B, C, D, L, M, Q stuff.
Okay. Now, we will engage with the argument because there is one here.
Right.
But when I have to really read and reread, which is what I had to do.
Right.
I feel like I'm getting a little chin boogie.
Yeah, you are. And here's the issue. Again, notice how they're lumping issues together as if they're all morally equivalent, and they're not weighting issues according to categories like intrinsic evils versus contingent ones that we talked about earlier. So that's the first thing I observe watching this. Of course, my vote is weighty. Of course, my vote empowers people to do things. That's what a constitutional republic does. That's not anything real profound there. So I'm not sure how that's supposed to make me think that I shouldn't be able to think simply and clearly about how I vote.
Well, the implication, though, is when I vote for a candidate, I am also morally culpable for how they behave in office.
Well, actually, you're not. You're culpable for the policies that they are going to promote. That's what you're culpable for. You are not culpable for the fact that they get into office and then, unbeknownst to you, they've got an adulterous affair going on. You're responsible for policies. And let me back that up biblically. In a constitutional republic like ours, who is the sovereign? The people are. Biblically, God holds sovereigns responsible for upholding justice for the weak and vulnerable. So when we vote, what we're doing is we are actually bringing our vote to bear where we are held responsible for policies. That's what I'm held responsible for.
But it does get more nuanced because, for instance, I vote for candidate A because I believe that this candidate is a pro-life candidate. Mm-hmm. But I also know they've got some other wonky things. But I know that candidate B is the aggressive pro-abort.
Right.
Am I really responsible for the other policies that they implement that I do not approve of?
No, you're not. Because let's go back to the definition of what we said was the overarching goal of the pro-life Christian. To limit evil and promote good insofar as possible given current political realities. We do not always have it. In fact, I don't know of any time we have it in our power to limit all evil. We don't. So we limit the greatest evils in front of us and promote the good as best we can given electoral realities. And that's what we do as Christians. So to say that I'm responsible for things that my candidate may do that don't line up with the good doesn't mean I'm complicit in the evil that could result.
Very quickly, the character of a candidate matters by the same chain of moral causation as was just described.
Well, okay, let's think about this for a moment. You have a man with great character, or at least seems to be. He's nicely spoken. He doesn't cuss. He's been faithful to one wife.
Actually, he does cuss, but go ahead.
Well, but let's use my play along.
Yeah.
He's very nice, and there's a building on fire and there's children in that building. He's not going to help you. In fact, he's going to even do worse. He's going to throw gasoline on the fire. However, a rough-talking dude over here without real good character is willing to rush into the building with you and pull kids out and do what he can to stop the arsonist. Who's your guy?
Quit making it so simple. Scott Klusendorf, ProLifeTraining.com, an issue that appears, at least historically, to evangelicals to be one rather simple, rather clear, that there is a moral evil in our times that is so egregious to vote for somebody who wants to pour more fuel on the flame is a non-starter. And we now enter into an era where now our choices maybe aren't the moral choices that we would prefer,
right?
But this is the moral era that we're in. And I would have a very difficult time saying to an aborted baby when I meet that child in heaven, look, I couldn't help you because the guy, he was kind of crass. And, you know, a lot of people thought that he was pretty ugly.
His tweets were really bad.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
The issue seems rather clear. There is one issue that must pass the evangelical sniff test when it comes to voting, and that is the life issue, period. Scott Klusendorf, ProLifeTraining.com. This is Wretched Radio.
With your latest Wretched Radio news update, I'm Jimmy Hicks. Nigerian Bible translators are seeking help after having to suspend translation projects in 30 languages due to the COVID-19 pandemic and ongoing terrorist violence throughout the country. Wycliffe Associates, an Orlando-based nonprofit that works with national Bible translators across the globe on over 700 translation projects, announced that the global pandemic, terrorism, and economic collapse in Nigeria have brought Bible translation to a halt in the most populous nation on the African continent. The organization, which was founded in 1967 and partners with local churches to direct and guard translation work in their communities, partners with an organization called Nigerian Bible Translation Trust. The trust works on several Old and New Testament translation projects in a country where there are over 200 million people in over 500 languages. However, this year, translators have not been able to gather in central locations as they would normally to check each other's translation work. Along with the pandemic, Nigeria has been marred by increasing trends of violence carried out in recent years by various actors, including Islamic terrorist groups, radical herdsmen, and bandits. It's estimated that thousands are reportedly killed by systemic acts of violence each year, including many Christians. The state of Kentucky may enforce its law requiring abortionists to have transfer agreements with local hospitals for patient emergencies after the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the state on Friday. Abortion groups in Kentucky are challenging the life-saving 1998 law, claiming it imposes an undue burden on a woman's right to abortion. Planned Parenthood and EMW Women's Surgical Center have argued that they may have to close because they cannot meet the safety requirement, thus preventing women in Kentucky from getting abortions. Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron celebrated the ruling in a statement saying, quote, "The Sixth Circuit ruling keeps in place an important Kentucky law for protecting the health and safety of patients by finding that Planned Parenthood and EMW failed to prove that they could not comply with the statute and regulations." In the majority opinion, Judge Joan Larson said the abortion facilities did not prove that they would be forced to close. She pointed to a 90-day waiver in the law that allows abortion facilities to operate temporarily until they fulfill the safety requirement. So not only do they want the right to murder unborn babies, but they also want to be able to legally have the right to do it in an unsafe manner for the woman. Yep, typical of Planned Parenthood. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 863 AD. Cyril and Methodius, Greek brothers, evangelize the Serbs. Cyril develops the Cyrillic alphabet, which remains the basis for the Slavonic used in the liturgy of the Russian Church. Even the alphabet can be a reminder of God's work in the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
These are actually worse than I thought. This is Wretched Radio in studio with the one, the only Scott Klusendorf, because how many people do you know with the net last name Klusendorf? You don't even know people named Klusendorf, and you are a Klusendorf.
I'm still shocked.
Did
my
you
wife
ever
married
think
me
about
that last name.
Me too. What was her maiden name?
Barstad. It's a little better. Scandinavian. Wait, you go from Barstad to Klusendorf. Come on. That's rough.
Okay, wait. Dorf is a
small
village. City, a town, right? And a Klusen is a what?
Exceedingly brilliant and smart. No, I have no idea what it means. I have no idea.
Apparently doesn't speak German.
No,
city
I've
or
been
village.
To Germany, but I've never spoke German.
Scott Klusendorf, do not let his last name deceive you when it comes to pro-life apologetics. He is the man. ProLifeTraining.com. ProLifeTraining.com. All right, I found the illustrations that I tried to scroll out regarding this Vermont law that is now mandating that prophylactics must be distributed because the Republican who introduced the bill said that the legislation is to allow students to protect themselves and reduce the number of abortions that are happening. And I read that and I went, okay, I get the intent, but it's missing a little something. So here's the illustrations that I wrote, and they're terrible.
Yeah.
All right. I admit it to you. They're really terrible. It's like offering people free liposuction and free Krispy Kremes. So you can eat all the Krispy Kremes you want. And don't worry about the result. We'll give you liposuction too. How'd I do?
Oh boy, that
hold on.
Oh, that one's a stretch. No pun
dude,
intended.
I'm not even close to done.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So we don't want kids to die from gunshot wounds, so we provide them with bulletproof vests. Okay, that's not good either. Okay, we don't want kids to get broken noses when punched, so we're going to put steel rods in their nose.
Or hockey masks, mandatory.
Okay. Which probably is...
With COVID, works.
It's probably more of a likelihood these days. All right. Needles to drug addicts. I know. We're now going to put concrete filters into cigarettes so you can keep smoking without having the harmful effect.
That one's getting better.
They're all terrible. Don't patronize. Look, we're friends for too many years. Just tell me. The illustrate, then you come up with a better one, Pally.
I'll tell you what.
You don't have anything, do you? You don't have anything.
I am staying away from talking about condoms and talking about pro-life and abortion.
That was about life and abortion.
That was about reducing abortion.
Go ahead. Just try to just skate right away.
They weren't that bad.
Bring you back to some of the arguments that are being made these days to try to encourage evangelicals to reconsider our thinking on abortion. One of them is that the orange guy is terrible. He's immoral. And he's really awful, as opposed to the well-mannered fellow. And I just always want to stop and go, the well-mannered fellow who wants to kill more babies.
That's it. See, Todd.
Boing.
Yeah, that's it. You hear these guys say, we're going to destroy our Christian witness backing a political candidate with bad moral character. Isn't it damaging our Christian witness to get behind a candidate that wants to intentionally kill innocent human beings? So, if I have to choose again between a dude with bad moral character who's a rough talker and sends out rough tweets, but he's willing to help me rescue kids from the burning inferno versus the nice talking guy, who's the better Christian witness for us to get behind? I mean, what's up with our priorities here?
I understand the Christian witness aspect, but there's just something immoral about not wanting to work with somebody who is going to do the... And this is the comparison, because you want to be careful that you don't somehow become a pragmatist or a consequentialist. So I want to avoid that with the language. But we're talking about somebody. You can find all kinds of things that causes a Christian to just hit their head and want a V8 instead.
Yeah.
But we're talking about another man who is aggressively wanting to take the lives of children.
That's right.
Where did we get confused on this?
Well, I think, again, the main thing is a lot of evangelicals have fallen for this notion that sin is sin. You know what? All sins are the same. How often have we heard this?
Yeah.
Now, what they don't understand is we are equal in our sinful nature, but the sinful acts that spring from that sinful nature are not all morally equivalent. So evangelicals, in a sense, are a sucker for this kind of stuff because we already want to make all sins the same.
Don't want to sound too judgmental. I'm better than you.
Yeah, and we all need Jesus. And of course, all that's true. We get that. But the failure to morally weight issues is a huge problem for us. And I think, again, this is where we can learn a lesson from our Catholic friends and their moral theology, and I said this knowing I'd get a but here's what they have done that we need to steal from and make it baptize a little. They make a great distinction between those intrinsic evils and contingent ones. Now, they go wrong in suggesting that somehow there are mortal sins and some sins that will make you more condemned by God, but they're right that there is a sense that some sins are worse. The Lord does hate certain things.
Well, we know that. It would have been worse for if then. So we
know that.
We do get that. But you're right. I think that could be a part of the explanation for why we are minimizing the evils of abortion. And
that's,
you know,
right.
I'm sorry. I know that the Hitler card is always just a non-starter. But to fail to bring up Nazi Germany, which, by the way, compared to the American genocide of abortion, that was a walk in the park by comparison.
Yeah, it was.
And that, and almost to say it like that, it sounds awful.
Yeah.
But by comparison is the point. Abortion in America is killing far more than Adolf Hitler could have dreamt of killing.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, speaking of World War II, we were quite willing to work with Joseph Stalin to beat Adolf Hitler. We were quite willing to form, as we should, alliances with people willing to put out the most pressing evil in front of us.
Unless, of course, it compromises your theology. Right, Mr. Klusendorf?
Of course. But when we are dealing with a political thing like this, I'm not being asked to give up a point of doctrine. I'm not being asked to give up some essential of the faith. I'm working with a candidate that is most likely to help me achieve a reduction in the most intrinsic evil in front of me.
All right.
Stop it. And promote good insofar as possible.
If I choose a babysitter for my children whom I know has poor character, or a landlord for the apartment building I own whom I know has poor character, or a treasurer at my church whom I know has poor character, I become at least partially complicit in any bad decisions each of these individuals make. Right?
Okay. Well, we can immediately question the parallel between a president and a renter in your home. But again, it comes back to policies. Todd, all we ever have in front of us are policies. We can't project into the future what a candidate is or isn't going to do in terms of personal moral character. And the question then becomes this. Can you think of the orange man doing anything in his character that is going to put innocent human beings at risk the way his opponent will?
Well, I think a big part of this, Scott, is that when we take a look at somebody's character, we would prefer it to be stellar.
Of course we would.
And 10 years ago, those were the conversations we had.
That's correct.
We've seemed to have entered into a new era. And I don't think that this means that we are compromising our ideal. It means that we're dealing with reality and what the genuine options
are. Exactly. And this goes back to what I said earlier. We have a duty to promote the good and limit the evil insofar as possible given current political realities. Given the current political reality, the fact that if one party gets power, unborn children will be in the crosshairs like never before. The policies of the nation are going to go south on us in a big, big way. I can be critical of somebody's character. I can be honest where I think they go wrong. And the church always has a duty to hold moral government to moral account that way.
And again,
and candidates.
And this blurring of what is moral and what isn't, the weighing of a guy's bad tweets and obnoxious behavior.
Children?
Yeah. So, okay. So let me go back to hiring a babysitter for your children with poor character. So I'm going to hire a babysitter who tells me at the door that they're okay with rape.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wait a second. You would have a problem with that person because of the issue itself.
Right.
So take that now and use the illustration the opposite direction toward the presidency. You've got a man who apparently has moral character who's saying that they promote not rape in this instance, but the taking of innocent life. You'd go, wait a second, that person actually isn't moral either.
That's right. They're worse.
And so now we are left with the dreaded lesser of two evils issue.
Yeah, I actually reject that paradigm. I am not choosing the lesser of two evils. I'm choosing to lessen evil.
As you have to choose between two individuals who are not the ideal candidate mm-hmm. that you and I would prefer.
I am going to vote to lessen evil.
And I think where a lot of people kind of go, wait a second, but didn't we used to care about this stuff? Oh, we still do. We would prefer it. But here's the reality. We don't have somebody whose record is really clean or clear, or at least at the standard of what would be considered socially, morally acceptable. We're just in a different time now.
We are.
And we want to lessen evil. Scott Klusendorf, ProLifeTraining.com, ProLifeTraining.com. If you want to learn how to defend the Christian worldview regarding life, heed a man at ProLifeTraining.com. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here today on Wretched Radio. We are always appreciative of your time. And hey, listen, be on the lookout for a new resource from Wretched coming soon. You've heard us talk about it. It's on the way real soon. It's The Road Trip to Truth, which will be hosted by Millennial John Fabares. He's the son of Mike Fabares. These episodes will be tackling tough issues that millennials struggle with. Subjects like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What about the supposed errors in the Bible? Is there only one way to heaven? And many, many more. We want to reach the millennial generation, your kids and your grandkids, with the gospel, and you get to be a fly on the wall. 70% of kids leave their faith when they enter college, and together we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just one more reason for you to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism, and very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
Well, it's that time of year again, Halloween, just around the corner, and Wretched has you covered this year with Don't Stub Your Toe, the perfect booklet to give away to trick-or-treaters who are coming to your door. Evangelism can typically be scary. Even Paul came to the Corinthians with fear and trembling. Yeah, Paul should have probably ordered Don't Stub Your Toe. Give away candy and the gospel this year with this 48-page booklet, perfect for all ages. During Halloween, the lost is going to be coming right to your door, so don't pass up on this amazing opportunity to give away the gospel. With Don't Stub Your Toe, it's a thorough gospel presentation written in a very accessible and friendly manner, perfect to give away with a Snickers or Butterfinger or Milky Way. Whatever you decide to give it away with, just give away Don't Stub Your Toe. Visit wretched.org/toe and order your copies just in time for Halloween. That's wretched.org/toe.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God, and through him we have direct access to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a dramatic illustration. This is Wretched Radio.
Is it better than the other ones you
heard? I'm hoping it is. Scott Klusendorf joining us in studio, ProLifeTraining.com. I am your dramatic actor, Todd. I'm running for office, Scott, and I'd like your vote because I agree with you on so many of your economic positions. I agree with you on religious liberty issues. I don't know if I mentioned to you, I am, however, a pro-slavery. And I would really like to see more people enslaved. And I just think you should overlook that because of my other policies. Do I get your vote?
Well, try running that by the slave population in 1860 to see how they would feel about that. Obviously, anybody who heard you say that today would crucify you today, as they would if you brought up the issue of sex trafficking and used that same logic, mm-hmm. or spousal abuse and used that same logic. But suddenly it comes to abortion, and we have to be nuanced. We can't look at it that simply. We have to look at all the underlying factors. We have to look at all the things that might lead women to choose abortion in the first place. So we can't be as clear as we could be on the example you gave. That's hogwash. Yes, we can. Why not? My question is, why can't we be that clear?
Well, that is exactly the effort that is afoot right now. That abortion is one, well, we'd prefer that everybody came to the conclusion that it's better to vote for a pro-life candidate, but
right.
We understand there's other issues, there's other considerations, there's other category, there's other nuances, there's new ways of looking at some of these things in a more holistic way that might ultimately be more helpful. And if you tried that same rationale with sex trafficking, with rape, with slavery, you would be mocked, and rightly so. And yet, there are people who are saying it's not that big of a whoop if the person just has that one little mark about abortion. However, I would suggest to you there's more than one mark to be considered here. At the debate, it was a town hall meeting. Donald Trump was having a debate. I don't know if you saw that.
With the moderator.
That was fascinating. Nevertheless, Biden says this. The woman stood up and asked the question on ABC News. I have two daughters, 8 and 10. My youngest daughter is transgender, she said. How will you, as president, Mr. Biden, reverse the dangerous and discriminatory agenda and ensure that lives and rights of LGBTQ people are protected under U.S. law? So, loaded question, needless to say. What are you going to say to my 8-year-old who wants to be a transgender?
Unreal that he would let that question stand, and by the premise of it, that an 8-year-old knows where she's going with her identity is. I
want to read it just so we can all appreciate.
Yeah.
I will flat out just change the law and eliminate those executive orders. The idea, and I thought he was actually going to denounce it for a second, the idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides is nonsense. No, that's not what he said. That I decided to change my vendor, it would make my life easier. There should be zero discrimination, said he. Wow. He didn't say, this is the most outlandish thing I've ever heard of. And I'm sorry, madam, but I need to talk to you after this is done immediately, because I'm very concerned.
We've got psychological help here for your kid. No, he didn't.
And for you too, mom.
Yeah.
Because this is bonkers.
Right.
And this is something that I would not stand for. It's an 8-year-old child. Yeah. Also, I promise you, there is no reason to suggest there would be any right denied to your daughter. You have the right to be and do. Now, that to me sounds like another issue besides just the life issue. And people are saying you can give this guy a second look. I'm mystified.
Yeah.
Absolutely mystified. There's the marriage issue. There's gender issues. There's sexuality issues. Mm-hmm. There's a little girl issue.
Yeah.
And yet on his website, for whatever it's worth, that they want to end the broad religious freedom exemptions to boot.
Yep.
So if you're a Christian person, you don't get to slap down the religious card and have an exemption. If your daughter wants to get changed, we'll see to it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. And by the way, if your pastor starts preaching biblical theology on the nature of sexuality and it doesn't fit with leftist ideology, they are going to come after you.
Oh, okay. So this is there's more to the issue than just life. Let me ask you this question then, Mr. Pro-Life Guy. Let's say that the D candidate was actually pro-life, but he still gives this answer, wants to redefine marriage, is okay with the redefining of what genders are.
Yeah.
Would those also be hurdles that a Christian cannot jump over?
Oh, yeah, they should be. I'm not claiming abortion is the only hurdle. I'm saying it's the greatest intrinsic evil we face at the moment. And by the way, I wish it were not the case, Todd, but there are now in Congress not even one pro-life Democrat. They no longer exist. They are totally
extinct. They can't.
They've been run out of the party. So, of course, this is important because at the legislative level, policies are party-driven more than individual-driven. So when you vote for a party that has a platform that, as John MacArthur says, really looks like Romans 1, you are promoting those policies. And I keep coming back to that. That's the issue here. What policies are you promoting with your vote?
Do you believe that it is reasonable to look at the current climate of the life issue? And if the pro-abortion majority is put in place, and maybe some people go, well, it's babies, not something that I need to worry about it. I'm here. I'm safe. Do you think they are?
They're not, and here's why. The worldview that drives abortion is what we call a performance worldview. The endowment worldview says you and I have value because we are image bearers, we draw rights from our creator, and we are intrinsically valuable, meaning we're valuable simply because we're human. The performance worldview that drives the abortion mentality says that you are not valuable in virtue of your human constitution. You're valuable only because you can function at a certain level. You can perform at a certain level. You have self-awareness. You have the ability to feel pain. You have the ability to be viable, live outside the mother's body. Until you can demonstrate one of those things, you're not fully human. You're not a subject of rights. The same principles that are used to disqualify the unborn from having natural rights can bite those of us outside the womb. Lincoln made this very point with slavery when his critics would say, well, that black man differs from us. And Lincoln would say, you're right. Of course he does. That's not the question. Does he differ from us in ways that justify enslaving him? Oh, you say he's different from us because his skin color is darker? Well, take care. By that rule, you're a slave to the first person you meet with skin fairer than your own. Oh, you say we can enslave him because his intellect doesn't match ours? Take care again. Then you can be enslaved by the first person with an intellect superior to yours. So you see where Lincoln was going here. So no, they're not safe. And this is something we better get right. The abortion issue is not about a surgical procedure. It's about who counts as one of us. And in answering that fundamental question, who counts as one of us, the two rival worldviews are the endowment view, which is biblically grounded, and the performance view, which is not. And that performance view erodes human equality.
Which brings us to the Netherlands. There is a new piece of legislation which allows the government to give doctors permission to intentionally take the life of a child now. It used to be over the age of 12, but now you can be euthanized under the age of 12 as long as you've got permission from the doctor and the parents. I'm not sure the person needs to give you permission, but nevertheless. And then what I thought was really, really fascinating about this is that they are actually calling it, there is a need sometimes because people's pain is so intense for us to interrupt life. They've stated plainly, we're just going to take a life here. Are we seeing what began perhaps as the life issue in utero being played out into adulthood?
We are, although just to be historically accurate, Todd, this performance view of human value goes way back beyond our immediate abortion context. You can see it in early 1900s with films like The Black Stork, where the propaganda in the film was to show that when you actually took the time to euthanize a child with disabilities, they go right to the welcoming arms of Jesus. That was the script, and it was aimed at religious people to convince them to practice eugenics. So yes, this worldview, and this is what we as Christians need to get an understanding on. When we don't address the underlying worldviews, sometimes we miss why people hold these views. That performance versus the endowment worldview is a big reason why people buy into this stuff.
And it is, but unless they believe that they are endowed by
their creator,
specifically by God, then their hearts really are never ultimately going to be changed rightly.
Which
is why you and I would also say, if we really want to solve the abortion problem, if everybody just got saved, that it would be a whole lot better.
It would certainly be better. And that's why, though, we need civil law to control the heartless acts of those who don't get saved.
Because they're not.
They're not. As Martin Luther King said, the law cannot make the white man love me, but it can stop him from lynching me.
Scott Klusendorf, ProLifeTraining.com, ProLifeTraining.com. You can also see Scott on Life is Best, which for my money still, I think is
it's just fantastic. The
super best pro-life apologetic you can find out there, because it deals with each one of these issues step by step. You nailed it on that, and you absolutely slaughtered it. Season 2, Road Trip to Truth. You will see Scott next year after we release Road Trip to Truth, Season 1. Eventually. Thanks for dropping
in. Thank you, my friend.
It was a pleasure.
So good to see you again.
As promised, he was way better than I would be. It's true. ProLifeTraining.com. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.